And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Verse 22, And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices, and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out, and cast off their clothes, and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know where they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we do thank you for the reading of the Scripture this afternoon, and pray, Lord, that you will bless it to our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look here in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 22, in verses 17 to the end of the chapter, we find that Paul is really under some duress at this time. He went up to the city of Jerusalem, and in some sense, he kind of went without regard to himself, because he was warned against going up to the city of Jerusalem, as even a prophet, Agabus, did warn him concerning this matter, that he might be bound there, and being bound, he would find himself in harm's way. And so we find that as this situation kind of unfolded, we find that Paul makes a certain defense before the mob, before those who wanted him killed. They believed that he had turned his back on Judaism and of the law, and was teaching something other than what he should be teaching. They also believed that he was somehow disrespectful of the temple and had defiled the temple. And of course that was wrong as well. He did give a defense of himself by going into a lengthy discussion concerning his conversion. That is, he gave a full rendering of his conversion before the group there at Jerusalem, hoping that they would give him a hearing. He spoke to them in his own language, their own language, realizing that that would have the best opportunity of reaching them if he could speak to them in his own Hebrew tongue. And, of course, he did cite himself as being credible. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a well-known Pharisee, of course, that was a teacher of the law. And so Paul tried to present himself in the best light possible, that they would understand that he wanted to speak to them with great sincerity of heart concerning their faith. And he even went so far as to say that he was a persecutor of the followers of the way, and that because of all these things, they ought to give him a hearing. And so he had this opportunity to speak at Jerusalem. And so as we come down to verse 17, the Lord warned Paul to leave Jerusalem and go to the Gentiles. And so that's the first thing we see here, that Paul is commanded to depart from Jerusalem, verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And we see at this point, Paul is still in the temple. That is, he went to the temple and he obviously respected the Jewish religion, yet he himself, though he was a Jew, yet he had become a follower of Christ. And he had come under the conversion of the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that he gives testimony to that in verse 8. And I answered, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said unto me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And so Jesus did identify himself to Paul, and Paul knew who it was that spoke unto him. And that the Lord Jesus even gave certain command unto him at that time of his conversion. In verse 10 he says, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do." And so Paul knew of those things that were necessary in his life, and he began to unfold those events and circumstances in such a way that he hoped that they would understand, that his own people would understand, after all, he had a great burden for his own people. And when we come down to verse 14, and he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one," meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, "that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witnesses, that thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." So we find that as Paul relates these circumstances of how he came to faith, that he himself was given this command that he might be baptized unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is now commanded. He has a certain trance. He's in a certain trance, as it were, at Jerusalem. He's in the temple. He's praying. And Paul is commanded to depart from Jerusalem. And so in verse 18, "And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me." Well, it comes a time when you even have to depart from places you have a great burden for. And Paul realized this, and realizing that he was now in a very precarious situation, one where he could be in great danger. And the Lord speaking to him in this trance, he now receives this message from the Lord. And the Lord tells him to depart. And though this probably was somewhat of a hardship for him to receive this, yet he realized that it was something that he needed to do. And so he realized that the Lord was commanding him to get out of Jerusalem very quickly, because the people would not receive his testimony concerning Christ. It seemed incredible to the apostle that his own people would refuse to listen to him. After all, they were his own kindred people. Yet we find that they did not want to receive him. They rejected Christ. Why wouldn't they also reject him? And of course they did. And so they, even though he was able to explain to them his zealousness as a Jew, yet we find that that did not have a lot of impact upon them. So the Lord commanded him to depart. And then secondly, we see here in verses 19 through 21, Paul is sent unto the Gentiles. Well, as we go back to in the book of Acts, we'll find that there's implications there as well, that Paul would be used of the Lord greatly in among the Gentiles, and he would be sent unto the Gentiles. And so Paul receives this testimony once again that he was to go unto the Gentiles. He was to go out into the world and preach the Christ to the far-reaching Christ to the far-reaching corners of the world. Verse 19, and I said, Lord, they know that I'm in prison, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And we find that Paul begins to reaccount this in his situation to the Lord, saying these things, but yet the Lord held firm in the command that he gave unto Paul, because it was necessary that Paul would go further unto the Gentiles, to go to spread abroad the gospel unto the nations. And so, as we see in verse 21, he commanded him, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles, unto the nations. And so these people would be his congregation, if you will, the very people that would receive the message would not be the Jew, but rather would be the Gentile people. And so now Paul is at a juncture where he truly must leave Jerusalem and must follow the will of the Lord. We often find ourselves in the same place. You know, we have to look to the Lord for that leading and guiding. And when the Lord gives it to us, we have to be open to God's leading, whether it be to stay or whether it be to go, or whether it be to take up our message among this people or that people. Many missionaries have, of course, crossed the same threshold to either go to one people or to another people, or whether to stop seeking to go unto a certain group of people and are redirected to go to another group of people. It is a threshold wherein God leads and wherein his Spirit directs. And so Paul is brought to this particular juncture where he has to make this decision to obey the will of the Lord. In verse 22 through 29, Paul asserts his Roman citizenship. He is now in this situation where the mob wanted to kill him. They would even immediately do so if it were not for the centurions here, those that were holding him, and they would protect him. God would use even the Roman government to preserve the life of Paul, that he might go and preach. In verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And so we find that the mob truly did want to destroy Paul at this particular place. But under the directing of the Lord, under the protecting hand of the Lord, we know that they could not do that. That God had his hand upon Paul, that he might go unto the Gentiles. Verse 23, and as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, or into the barracks, as it were, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And so, as was typical of the nature of the Romans and their policing and so forth, they wanted to get to the matter of Paul's circumstance, and so they were going to take him and scourge him and see if they could find out what the truth really was. But here again, God had his hand of protection upon Paul. His hand was very much upon him. He wanted him to leave Jerusalem. He wanted him to go into the Gentiles. He would not allow that the mob take him and kill him. and he would not allow that the Romans would torture him, scourge him. We find that Paul employed himself to take every defense possible, whether it be to the mob or before the Roman soldiers. He employed himself to protect himself as much as he could. And then the Lord himself was on his side and was watching over him. In verse 25, as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Of course, Paul knew the answer to that question, that it wasn't lawful. And he just wanted the Roman to know that, because he wasn't about to get beat for no good reason at all, if he could avoid it, of course, as much as possible. And so we find that the Roman said, of course, took particular account of that. The chief captain took particular account of that. And so as we see in verse 26, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. And so even the soldiers didn't want to get into trouble and violate their own laws, because then they would have to be accountable. And so we find that Paul is commanded to depart the city of Jerusalem because of the dire circumstances of the people against him. Paul is commanded to go unto the Gentiles. Paul asserts the rights of his Roman citizenship. And we find in all of this, God is not only directing him, but has his hand upon him. And so in verse 27, then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm a Roman." He wasn't about to deny it when he could get out from under the whip. And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said that he was freeborn, indicating that he was born a Roman through a father who held Roman citizenship. Now, just how that came about, maybe he bought his Roman citizenship, and then when Paul was born, he became freeborn. Maybe that was the occasion. I'm not sure just how that came about. But he was freeborn, and the other fellow had to pay for his. Verse 29, then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. And so all these events were very much used by God. Though Paul went up to Jerusalem, even in the face of the warning that was given to him by, the daughters of Philip? Yeah, Philip's daughters. I think he had three daughters that prophesied, and they gave a certain warning, and then Agabus gave a certain warning, and even so, he went up to Jerusalem, but in going up to Jerusalem, evidently it was part of God's plan for him to do so, because when we come to chapter 22, verse 18, and also in verse 21, we find that the Lord speaks to Paul. And gives him further information as to what he should do, as God would command him, as the Lord would command him. And so he commands him that he is to leave Jerusalem, that he is to go on to the Gentiles, and then the protecting graces of God were upon Paul that he might be preserved in all of this. And such is the hand and will of God in times when Paul was on his missionary journey, and at this time, I guess he had finished up his third missionary journey, but he was now in a situation where he was actually going on to the city of Rome and would be used more greatly in reaching out to the Gentile people and telling them the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16, which is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew as well as to the Gentile. And so a very important message that he was to give to the people at Rome. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do pray that you will help us to glean from these certain circumstances in the book of Acts and of those things that happened even unto Paul as well as to Peter. Help us to glean those things for our own practical understanding of how that the first century Christians went about to deliver the gospel unto other people, and how they delivered the gospel by the power of the Spirit of God, and how the Spirit of God also moved among the people, and that many believed. That there was often conflict, but sometimes even that conflict was used by you, Lord, to deliver people to a certain place or a certain time, and that they might have other advantage. Even now, as Paul has the advantage of going on to Rome, and that he would be taken there, even by those who are in the Roman government, these soldiers. Lord, the world often means evil unto us, but many times you mean it for good. And though every man's hand is sometimes against us, we know if your hand is for us, if your protecting graces are upon us, then that is all that we need. And we just need to commit our way unto you, Lord, and look to you for the results, for what you desire to be done, and how you would have it to be done to your glory and to your praise. Father, thank you for your love and grace to us and your continued blessings. Do lead and guide, Father, that we might be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen.